Good evening, everyone. It's so good to see the names, the faces here for our midweek service. My name is Ashton. This is Desiree. Got a little special guest here helping me out with our lesson tonight. As it was mentioned, our lesson tonight is titled Trusting God in Times of Change. And Larry Craig, our brother, preached a message at the beginning of the month, this at the beginning of the month on a Sunday on Zoom about how our God is unchanging, right? And our unchanging God helps us through our ever-changing lives. And that was a really powerful, very helpful message. And as a staff, we thought it'd be helpful to spend some more time talking about this topic of change. Our church, our little corner of God's kingdom, is going through what it feels like some changes, whether big changes for some of us, small changes to some of us. We've got retirements and moves and structure changes. Even Des and I are experiencing the change of having a baby right now, who's could kind of hear him crying as we're preaching this lesson. Don't worry, someone's watching him. But we're taking on this new chapter of our lives and our marriage. Recently moved into a new home, so there's a lot of change to go around here. But trusting God, faith in God, during those seasons of change and transition, that's what we're going to be focused on tonight. And if you're open to it, I'd really love for you to kind of be engaged in the Zoom chat. I'll ask some questions. If you're with someone watching midweek tonight, maybe you can share some of those things with the person beside you as some of these questions come up. But I think we get a lot out of those times where we're active in our own learning and part of that process. So if you're willing to engage in the chat, that would be awesome. So I don't feel like I'm a talking head here looking at just the screen, you know? I also want to mention before we kind of get into it, Desiree and I kind of hope to preach to you tonight, from the middle, right? We're talking about trusting God, and we're not talking about trusting God from a place of we've been there and done that. We figured this out, how to deal and trusting God in times of change. We're definitely not at that place. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the change, trying to figure this out. And so if you're like us trying to figure it out, hopefully this message is encouraging to you. We're figuring it out still, and we probably need your help figuring it out as well. So let's pray as we get into the word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this incredible just platform for us to connect as disciples near and far and be inspired by your word. I pray that you guide this time by your spirit and that we can really learn to trust you through all that we go through in this life, God. We love you. Pray also in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to start with a statement that's kind of a fill in the blank. It's a little multiple choice question. The teacher in me cannot resist. Finish the statement for you, right? Change is blank. Change is good. Change is bad. Or it depends, right? It depends. Maybe you know, now some of you guys are I gave you some options. You could come up with your own. I see some people put it in the chat already. I see change is fun or uncomfortable. Change is
Scary, exciting,
yes.
weird.
All right. See, I couldn't even get the sentence out. Somebody put ghetto. All right now. We don't got time to explain that one. But yeah, we got a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I am seeing it depends as well, right? Somebody said change is not welcomed. Or I love this one. It's very
Exactly.
hopeful. Change is just the beginning,
That's nice.
right? So change is interesting. This is a tough one to answer because I think it really does depend. For most of us, some change is good, some change is bad. For example, if I said the change in your life is just an extra zero on your income or your salary, you would say change is good, right? Or if the change in your life was, I don't know, your favorite restaurant closing forever, you're like, ah, that's not so good, right? Change is bad all of a sudden. Even in the Bible, we see God suggest that change can be good. We see God suggests change can be bad, right? In Psalm 15, I kind of picked out a few verses here. In the Psalm, it's talking about who will live on your holy mountain, who will be welcome and who would please God. And God says, the one who keeps my oath and who does not change their mind. So we see God is pleased with people who are not changing. And in Jeremiah 15, we see God upset with his people for not changing. It says, they have not changed their ways. I will bring bereavement and destruction on my people. So of course, it depends on what you mean by change, right? When you see that topic, times of change, it means different things to different people. I remember in the first month of Hudson's life, changing his diaper. And for me, thinking that was a good thing. He's dirty. His diaper needs to be changed. But when Hudson felt the cold wipe against his skin, he did not like the change. He was not excited about the change all of a sudden. So in this case, it was the same event and it was good or bad to different people. He was not excited about that change. I see it online during an election year. Last year, we had a new president. Donald Trump wins. Some people celebrated. Some people were upset. So change is blank. I think it depends on the person. I will say this about change, though. In my observation, change is felt, right? I think it's safe to say that when a big change happens in and around someone's life, we feel something in response. I saw many emotions in the chat when I said change is, right? Things like scary or exciting. Or you know, all of these different things, right? There were emotions, and change is usually felt. You feel something in response to a big change. And I think it's important for us to get in touch with that. Desiree is going to speak on how she responds to change.
Yeah. So for me, I would have probably said change is bad, or Shauna said change is ghetto. I concur. I agree with that. I feel like change has always been a very tough thing for me. I don't know how many people can relate to this, but I am just not the biggest fan of change. I will go to the same restaurant and order the same food. I'll go to different restaurants and order the same food. Spoiler alert, it is always the burger, okay? Yeah. I will always order the burger, to Ashton's dismay. Go to fancy restaurants. They have all kinds of stuff on there. What am I getting? The burger and french fries.
I really think I'm doing something. I'm taking her to something nice, something cultural. She finds the burger every time.
Yeah. I mean, the burgers are good, you know? But like, even like on a practical sense, I'll take the same routes home. I'll sit in the same seat at church. In college, when it's like open seating, I will find the same seat and sit in it every week. It's just something that's a part of me. I don't know. I find a little bit of comfort in routines and things being the same. But as life has gone on, I'm like, I've gone to restaurants and the menu changed. Or I'll try to drive the route home and the road is closed. Or I'll walk in the room and somebody is sitting in my seat. Mm. Like, you know, it's just like, what is going on? And it can really shake me. And it's kind of funny being asked to speak about trusting God in times of change, because this whole year, I feel like, has been a journey of change for me. There are things that have happened, like the Murdochs moving. That was not on my bingo card this year, guys. It was not. Like, who am I going to sit with at a Panera Bread on a Friday now? I don't understand. And so I feel like I'm still in the middle of this. You know, I'm still figuring out, how do I trust God with all of life's changes and all the emotions that go along with it? And really the last 5 years, I think God has just been like spinning the block on this lesson for me. Like, he's really wanting me to learn this lesson. And I keep coming back to the same intersection of emotions. When I sit with change, synonymously, like, the things that come to my mind, feelings that come to mind, is abandonment, discomfort, anxiety, loss of control, betrayal, grief, confusion. They are not positive emotions. Even when good things happen, it's weird. It's really weird, guys. I don't know. I'm still trying to, you know, work it out in therapy and everything, but I don't know. It doesn't matter what the change is, but any sort of disruption to life brings up feelings for me. And the more deeply I think about it, I think there's a part of me that is like wanting to know what to expect. Like I find comfort in knowing what to expect. There's no surprises, nothing there to catch me off guard. But when I think about that, I also realize that's not real life. That there are no guarantees. There are no promises. There are no assurances that everything will remain the same. If anything, life is completely opposite, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Bible tells us that in this life, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
You know, like it's inevitable. Change is just inevitable. And I was thinking back to like, if you were in the campus ministry in 2011 to 2016 in New Jersey, you will know this place. This place, the Mariner Inn. Maybe there's some people in the chat, you know, the small but mighty crew of us. But you will remember this place. This is a place that we used to go to every fall. We'd have our LBI Fall Beach Retreat. Some funny memories, some crazy memories are in this place. As you can see, they have the, you know, the comforters, those like grandma comforters, like, see, look at this. Vinny said he cut his foot open in the parking lot. See, crazy stuff has happened in this parking lot. I know too many stories. But yeah. Well, I went down there last year. I went down to LBI, and this is now the Mariner Motor Inn. Now it is called the Boulevard. It's fancy now. They have like, you know, cute green stuff on the outside. Yes, the place I drove past there, I said, wait a minute, what is going on? This is nuts. What happened to the Mariner? What happened to the place where all of my memories are? They now have gotten a facelift, the fancy upgrades, and you know, that's a good change. Good for them. You know, they're no longer in, they're the Boulevard, you know. But I felt sad seeing the place that had such fond memories no longer look the same. It's like the memories have changed with it, it feels like. Mm. And sometimes I feel like, because this is a thing for me, like change is a sore spot for me. When I come across these changes, when I go to a place and it no longer looks the same, or like Zen Burger, my favorite burger restaurant, guys, in the pandemic, all of them shut down. There were 7 of them in the area. They are all closed. Yeah. No way to get a Zen Burger burger anymore. Yeah. But when I come across that, I feel like it's a reminder to my soul that's coming from the real world that there's nothing promised, right? That the only thing promised to be the same is Jesus himself. And with all the different transitions and changes I've gone through in the last couple of years, both good and heart-wrenching, I feel like I've really had to study out the everlasting nature of God. The eternal nature of God. When I'm looking for comfort in familiarity, or trying to find comfort in forever, like earthly forevers, I have to shift that focus to find promise, comfort in God's promises of forever. Scriptures like Jeremiah 31 verse 3, it says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" Hebrews 13 verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And these are a few scriptures that like I have to write on the tablet of my heart and go back to over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, because this life is full of uncertainty and change. And just kind of shifting my perspective on change and letting it serve as a reminder of how much I have to rely on God and his word for safety instead of relying on patterns, familiarity, and routines. So I just wanted to share a little bit of like how I feel change. And I hope I, you know, resonated with a few of you guys, and hopefully I'm not alone in my change craziness.
Thanks, Des. Hey, man, change is felt. And thanks, Des, for just explaining and sharing about how change is felt in you. I want to continue our lesson here and spend some time looking at Matthew 14. So we talked about change being felt. Des shared so vulnerably about her experience with change. We're going to take a look at Jesus entrusting his emotions to God and how he navigated a change with his emotions. So we're going to look at Matthew 14 because we're going to be throughout the lesson kind of jumping through the chapter. It'd be best if you can grab a phone, grab a Bible, read through it. I'm going to put some excerpts on the screen, but the entire scripture won't be in our presentation. So Matthew 14 is where we're going to be and where I'll be reading from. And if you don't have a Bible near you, you can listen. So we're in Matthew 14, starting in verse 1. It says, "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, 'This is John the Baptist. He was risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him.' Now, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guest and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist.' The king was distressed because of his oaths and his dinner guests. He ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus." In verse 13, we'll end. It says, "When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place." You know, as we see here in this passage, I want to kind of just ask a few questions as things that you notice in this passage. We're talking about change and trusting God in change. What's the change that happens here in Jesus's life, or maybe around Jesus' life? What change happens here? And we can just take a few answers. What change happens in this scripture? All right. He loses someone, right? Loss of family. His cousin passes away, right? He loses his cousin, John the Baptist, right? So this is the change that happens. What is felt by Jesus? Maybe we're not 100% clear. Maybe we could imagine what he feels, right? We said change is felt. What do you think is felt by Jesus here? I'm seeing in the chat, he's heartbroken. See the word loss, sadness, pain. And then a really popular answer here I see is grief and distress, right? Grief. That's something I see. I see Jesus experiencing grief, right? So there's this change, this loss happens, and then he experiences grief. And just a last question about this in particular, how does Jesus attempt to address his emotions? So what is he feeling? He's feeling grief. I think that really is a good word to describe what he's feeling. How does he attempt to address what he's feeling? Got quiet, right? Privacy, communing, getting with God, withdrawing. I see that word come up a lot here. Prayer, solitude, time with God. Yeah, the three things that kind of come to my mind and what Jesus might be doing, and especially as I think about what I might feel if I was in his situation, I see him pausing and praying and processing what he's going through, right? He takes some time to pause, pray, and process. You know, we see Jesus experiencing grief here and going to God with his emotions. And I think there's a lot we can learn from this here. And you might be asking, okay, why are we focusing on grief specifically? There's so many feelings that come with change. And I think that grief is actually a popular response to significant change if they're negative, right, in our lives. Because I think sometimes our definition of grief is fairly narrow, right? Like, okay, how do we define grief? And have it kind of written here. See here, grief is the experience of coping with loss. Most of us think of grief as grief happening in the painful period following the death of a loved one. But grief can accompany any event that disrupts or challenges our sense of normalcy or ourselves. This includes the loss of connections that define us. This is from the Cleveland Clinic, right? I used to think that grief was like this ultra specific thing that's related to the loss of a loved one or the response to a big tragic event. But I learned, similar to kind of what's shared here, that grief takes a much wider space than many of us realize in our emotions, right? In this passage, we see Jesus experiencing grief from the traditional kind of situation of losing someone, but grief can come from the loss of obviously friends and family. It could be a pet. It can be a marriage, the loss of a friendship, the loss of a home, a community, the loss of your favorite hotel, you know, the loss of a job, career. It could be the loss of financial stability, a goal, a dream that you had. It could be the loss of your health, your youth, your fertility. It could be various things. And the reason this sits with me is that I realize kind of over the course of my life that there's like, I have moments of like unrecognized grief or hidden grief, times where I didn't realize that is actually what I've been feeling. I've been grieving. I did not know. I did not acknowledge that. And because I did not acknowledge it, I wasn't able to address it, right? Jesus realized, yo, I need to grieve. I just heard this really terrible news. I'm going to retreat. I'm gonna find some privacy. I'm gonna hit pause. I'm gonna do all of these different things. But if you don't recognize that that's something that you're feeling, that emotion that you're feeling, then you may not make space to pause, to pray, and to process what you're going through. You may not realize why you're isolating yourself from others, or why you're feeling sad, or why you're feeling anxious, why you're even feeling numb, even, right? Like not feeling much at all, right? Apathy or indifference. If there's an emotional injury and it's not addressed, it can get worse. If we try to take shortcuts through it, just skip past it, it will get worse. Now, I have a picture here and kind of an analogy. I'm a big basketball fan. And this past year in the NBA playoffs, there were three players who ruptured their Achilles tendon, a really tough, difficult injury, right? And we have some images here of these guys that, you know, I'm not necessarily celebrating what they went through, obviously, but it was a really difficult thing. There's a similarity with the three people who tore their Achilles tendons during the playoffs. Now, there's a conspiracy theory. They all wore the number zero. I'm not going to touch on that, right? That's not the type of midweek that we have it tonight. But if you want to look into that, you can look into that. But here's the similarity. Each one of them had a prior calf injury, just a strain, just a nagging calf injury, which would be common for a basketball player. But these guys, because it was the playoffs, were like, hey, I have this injury in my calf. It hurts. It's hindering my movement, but I'm just going to push through. Because this is urgent, it's the playoffs, and I just have to push through. And they did not address the injury. They did not pause. They did not rest. And now an injury, like a calf injury, that may have taken 3 weeks, 6 weeks of rest, and then they would have been back to full health. They pushed it. They went rushed right through. They never took the time to pause. And now their recovery timeline is over a year, and a more severe injury took place. Right? when we have these emotional injuries that we don't address, when we have these feelings that we don't address in the moment, we're prolonging the process of our healing. Yes, healing, true healing takes time. It takes time. And we're busy people. We're impatient people. We want things to go quicker. But in that rush of just trying to push through all that we're feeling and just get to the next thing or ignore what we're feeling, we're prolonging an already long healing process, making it more difficult, making ourselves susceptible to even more severe, kind of just really difficult emotional injuries there. So if you are like me, and you may realize, hey, I'm grieving something. I'm dealing with something. I'm feeling a lot. I have a love-hate relationship with the phrase, like, I'm emotional, right? Because what does that really mean? We all have emotions, right? But, you know, if you're feeling a lot, just give yourself permission to take time and pause. If the transition, for instance, to the Murdochs is difficult for you, you know, lamenting is biblical. You know, rest and pause, all of these things, processing is biblical. Let's make space for each other, right? Like with all the changes and all the things that are shifting here, not just in our church, but in our world, people are going through it. Let's create space for one another for change to be felt, right? Let's recognize that transition and change is hard, and let's decide to support and be there for one another. Let's remember that news impacts people differently, right? And be sensitive to that. And it goes the other way too. Sometimes we're going through a difficult time and it's hard for us to see someone who seems unaffected by this, right? Unaffected by what's going on, unaffected by what's going on in the world, right? But we got to make space for that person to feel change too. And just that it's felt different by them. And let's realize that we're a body and that we're all different in those ways. I want to end with this, this idea here, and it is that faith keeps us afloat. And this is the part where I think trust is really important. We learn in Matthew 14 that Jesus looked for a private place and a solitary place. But if we just read the end of that verse in verse 13, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get what he wants, that time to pause and to reflect and all of these different things. And continuing in Matthew 14, starting in verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns, right? So he's on a boat, he's on a lake. I have no real visual of how big this lake is, but these people are tracking the boat on foot and trying to just meet Jesus on the other side. And it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy some food. Verse 16, Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We only have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Verse 21, it says, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Wow, this is amazing. Jesus is going through a difficult situation. Like, he's going through change. And in the midst of this, he's looking for a time to pause and to pray and to process. And here the people come. Like, here are all the people and all the needs. And it's interesting. Like, if you're open in times where you're going through a difficult emotional experience, right? And you're just able to pick up your head just beyond your own change and your own challenges, you'll notice that God wants to use you in the middle of your grief, in the middle of the difficult emotions in the middle of the change, God actually can and will sometimes use us. God can use you in the middle of your tiredness, in the middle of your sadness, in the middle of your pain, frustration, your anger, your struggle. You can help someone else while you're there. We look at the scripture and we look at Jesus feeding the 5,000. We hear that story all the time, but it happened during a time where Jesus was grieving. And not just Jesus, the disciples. We know in the Bible, some of these disciples were John's disciples before they followed Jesus. So yeah, we're not Jesus. I want to be careful here. We're not Jesus. Also, when you're going through a hard time, it's important to have boundaries. It's important to have boundaries. It's important to get that space, right? We're trying to be like Jesus. We are not Jesus, right? But the idea here is Jesus lost someone. His disciples lost someone. And they're going through a difficult time, right? Like just at its most basic level. And people are knocking on the door. They could have very easily said, it's not a good time. And we would have been okay. And that would have been it would have been a nice end to the scripture. Like Jesus got boundaries, that's the message. And there we go, right? People are knocking on the door in the middle of their difficult time. They could have just said, nah, yeah, come back later, guys. But Jesus does that sometimes. But here, Jesus sees another emotion. We see another change felt, right? It's almost like Jesus sees these people and he has some sort of like anticipatory grief about their situation. He sees beyond their situation, sees, hey, they're heading towards spiritual death. I gotta guide them. I gotta help them. Yeah, I still need that time alone. God, please give it back to me, but I'm gonna help this person in front of me right now. And the point I'm trying to get at is tired, sad, frustrated. Sometimes we tell ourselves that this is preventing us from being this or helping someone. And we say things like, I can't do anything. But we feel like we can't. But really it's that we won't. That's really what it is. And God wants you and all your messiness to help someone else. God wants you and all your discouragement to encourage someone else. And he's gonna multiply the not enough feeling that you have so that you can be enough for someone else. Like that's what's happening here. They don't have it. They're like, get these people away. The disciples, send them off someplace else. We can't serve them. We can't feed them. God is like, I can work with whatever you got, whatever you're willing to give. I can work with it. And you could be enough for these people. And of course they were able to feed these people. God can take the smallest amount of what you have and make the largest impact you could think of. We got to trust that he can use us even during our difficult moments in our life. You know, maybe grief is far from where you're at. Maybe there's hope that you have right now in the midst of the changes that are going on around you. Maybe you have vision. Maybe you have faith. You're excited, right? You're like, oh, all these L's that I'm taking are lessons and all my lessons are blessings. Like you're just a positive person all the time, right? You know, what's usually tough for that person is feeling like, yo, the people around me are doubting and I have faith, and we just let our faith get drowned by the doubt around us. Let your faith stand out like Jesus. These people didn't, the disciples didn't think that they had any, like, what, how much fish do I have? How much bread do I have? We can't do anything here. And Jesus's faith stood out and was able to help the people around them. It helped the disciples realize it's not all that bad. It's not impossible. And it helped them see behind the difficulty of their present moment to a promise of the future, right? So God can use your faith, even if it's surrounded by doubt. God can use your faith. I want to end off with just the end of the scripture, and I won't read it just for time's sake, but right after this, Jesus feeds the 5,000. In verse 22, I thought it was really powerful. It says immediately, so after he feeds all these people, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Right? So Jesus, right after all of this, yes, he met the need. He helped the people right in front of him. But he was still craving that time to grieve and to pause and to pray and to pause. So he took a peek. He took a peek up at the people around him while he was going through what he was going through. But it was still a priority to him to pause and to pray and to process, right? So I don't want to act like, hey, you know, just push through it, go help meet needs, all this stuff, share your faith. I'm not saying that. We should take a peek at what's going on around us, because it's not just us. But Jesus kept, he made it a priority to pause and to pray and to process. And he sent the disciples away. He had that alone time with himself. And then at 3 a.m., the disciples are screaming and the boat is rocking. And Jesus has to help them out. And he walks on water to help them out. Something amazing at the end of the scripture to me is, and you know, if you've read kind of the Gospels, maybe Mark or Matthew, Peter gets out of the boat and walks to Jesus, and then he drowns. And why does he drown? Because he looks at the wind and the waves and he gets scared. And, you know, at the end there, Jesus is in verse 31, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Like, they were amazed. They were blown away by Jesus. The thing to me that's interesting about this passage is this happens after Jesus had already calmed the storm with the disciples. So they knew that Jesus, or at least they should have known, Jesus had the capability to calm the wind and the waves. They saw it happen already. They already panicked. They already woke up Jesus before this, and he calmed the wind and the waves and said, "Why did you doubt? You have little faith," to all of them. And then Peter had an experience where he's walking on the water and he's like, "All right, Jesus, you got me, you got me, you got me." And then he saw wind and waves and he got scared and he panicked and he fell. The thing that blows me away is I think the disciples reacted with so much fear to like their storm, their big change, because of their lack of faith. And when I say faith, I don't mean merely believing in Jesus, because of course they believed in Jesus. He was right in front of them. They followed him. They saw him work miracles, but somehow they didn't know Jesus, or they didn't know certain things about them. They weren't convinced about certain things about Jesus. They didn't feel confident that he had command over the wind and the waves and that he was God, or else they would have been fine through the storm. But their lack of knowledge or conviction about that knowledge impacted their faith. And what that tells me is that a generic belief in God will not get us through the challenges of this life. Just this generic belief that God is powerful or real or any. We need to know what about God we can trust, what he is in control of, and who he is. I love Bobby's lesson last week about the sovereignty of God, because he just made it clear, this is what God is in control of, and this is what we're in control of, or what we are kind of able to do, and what can we really rely on God for. We even have a lesson about the Holy Spirit coming up next week that I'm really looking forward to, seeing how God can lead us through different situations. But it's important for us, if we're struggling with change, if we feel like we're in the storm, if we're seeing the wind and the waves and we're getting scared, we're panicking, to get very connected and grounded on who God is in the Bible. And when we learn who he is, accept it and don't forget it. You know, Peter saw who Jesus was and what he was capable of, and he forgot in the moment where change came back. And that happens. We go through the storms of life. God gets us through. We're like, "God, I'll never doubt you again. You got me. Oh man, I believe you. You came through." And then another thing happens. Another change happens. And we just, this one might be different though. I don't know if God is going to come through in this situation. Right? So we got to go back to the scriptures. We got to go back to the scriptures on who he is and what he is in control of, and rely on that. Get very connected and very grounded in who God is. As we're closing out here, I just want to remind us, if we're dealing with change, And grief is one of the emotions that we think we might be feeling. It's important to pause, to pray, and to process. But in the midst of whatever we're feeling throughout the changes in and around our church community and in the world, still take a peek at those around you. Don't forget that other people are having a hard time too, or other people are going through their thing, and God might want us to help them. Even as we're seeking comfort, he might want us to be a comfort to someone else. And ultimately, to put your trust in God, to put your faith in God. Faith will help us overcome that fear. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys have a great night. As we're closing out, we are going to sing one more song, and then I think we will be dismissed. But love you guys.